This morning will be from Acts chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them and wondering what this would come to. And someone came in and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing at the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people.
So, anyway, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for loving us and being us, being with us, helping us through our days. We know, Lord, that we need to trust and obey. We need to walk by faith, even when it's hard, even when it goes against what is human nature, that we need to recognize that any power that we have comes through you, and that we have been entrusted with such great gifts that we need to be giving them out to the world, shining the light of the gospel in everything that we do with no regard for ourselves, because this world is not our home. Help us to learn from this story today in the book of Acts of how it is that your people in the first century conducted themselves so that we in the 21st century might live similarly. It's through Jesus we pray. Offer thanks. Amen. And so as we've worked in the book of Acts, for quite a while now, we've had a lot of different studies that have gone on around these particular themes that I've kind of put together and summarized in 4 points at the very top. Last month, in December, we looked at the role of angels in the New Testament time, and that's going to figure into the beginning of today's story that we're going to be looking at in Acts chapter 5. But we're going to be looking at it's God's power that is working through us that wins souls, not from us, but from God. And so I want to start out here with a illustration here. We might try to sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine, I'm going to Let It Shine all the time, let it shine," right? And if we realize that we don't have the battery in it, the battery is not going to work very well. We could push that button all we want, and that light is not really going to shine. And this reminds me of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. C.S. Lewis was a writer writing in the decades following World War I. And in the Screwtape Letters, there is an uncle. He's a Uncle Screwtape. He's a demon, a senior demon with a lot of experience at tempting mankind. And he's writing to his younger nephew, who's just frustrated and not knowing how to tempt mankind to sin and how to keep mankind for themselves. And so you might almost picture that Wormwood would come and say, Uncle Screwtape, they're singing "This Little Light of Mine." He says, "Don't worry about it. They're not plugged into the power. They can click that button all they want and sing that song all they want, but if they're not into the gospel, if they're not having obeyed that gospel, then it's not really going to matter whatsoever." And then we might sing all around the neighborhood, "I'm going to let it shine." And you could picture him going, "Uncle Screwtape, they've put the battery in the flashlight now. They're obeying the gospel. They're living that out. What are we going to do? They're going all around the neighborhood." And he's like, "Relax, relax." You can imagine that if we just keep them busy, we'll give them all kinds of comfort and leisure in this life. We'll keep them so busy that they really won't have time to do much. Maybe we'll even put some sports on TV. We'll give them all kinds of financial stresses, and that'll keep them working all the time, doing what they can. And they'll forget all about going around the neighborhood. And then, don't let Satan blow it out. Oh, what are we going to do now, Uncle Screwtape? And he says, it's not a candle. First of all, you can blow on that flashlight. It's not going to work. Younger generations don't even know what a candle is. So don't let Satan turn it off is what we might be singing instead. And he says, don't worry about it. He says, they think they have power over us, but they really rely on their own efforts, their own resources, their own strength, and they fail every single time. You see, there are lots of ways in which we give into the world, and the enemy continues to plot, but if the enemy will be plotting in vain if we walk by faith. And so those in the world who are in power in our story, main story today in Acts chapter 5, they rise up and say, here's a way we can stop those pesky Christians from going out and preaching the gospel. And so we see here in verse 17 and 18, but the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. All right, so you can almost see here, it's like, oh, we got them now, Uncle Screwtape. They've been arrested, they're put into the prison, that'll put an end to it all. But we know that if we could put on the whole armor of God, that we could be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so what are we going to do? And so we see God intervenes here, the next few verses, and this was part of our study in December when we looked at it, but during the night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Oh, Uncle Screwtape, an angel let him out. What are we going to do? And he told him to go preach the good news. And he's like, relax, relax. It's a choice that they have to make. And given a choice, human beings are always going to do what's easy rather than doing what's right. So what would Screwtape do? WWSD. They walk by sight. They don't walk by faith. And if they walk by sight, they're going to do what's easy. They're going to flee. They're going to get out of there some way. Lock them up. We're in power. But that didn't work. God let them out. If they're set free, they're going to take off. They're going to escape. They're going to do something different. And they'll do what's easy. They're not going to obey their God. And so in this choice, in verse 21, what do we see? And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Uh-oh. They're not doing what we think. And so Screwtape is thwarted here. And so now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. You can imagine the scene. They're all proud of themselves. Out of jealousy, they were able to snatch them pretty easily. It's not like they're some kind of formidable army according to the world's ways and wisdom. But instead, they just were easily caught and put into prison. And so now we're going to convene in the morning with all the power of the world, and we're going to probably put these folks to death and get rid of the whole movement whatsoever. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. The guards are standing there at the door, having no idea that the cell behind them with a locked door is empty. You can imagine their surprise when they open the door, like, well, where are they? Oh, I don't know. And there's no tunnel, there's no anything like that. It's just an empty cell. How did they get away? So they report, and now they're scratching their heads and saying, what are we going to do? Did they flee, Or did something else happen? In verse 24, 25, now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. The very thing that they were arrested for in the first place, they chose instead to go follow God. They're out teaching the people. There's nothing that this world could do to them that would keep them from teaching the people. Why? Because they walked by faith. And as we continue here, it says, this was from the story previously in Acts chapter 4 when only Peter and John were took. It says, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. You see, for people who are willing to walk by faith and not by sight, walking by sight, they would have fled in the night. They would have gotten as far away from Jerusalem as they could. They would have learned their lesson. They would have stopped teaching the people. But instead, they walk by faith. They ask God to help them continue to preach the word with boldness. You only have boldness if you allow God's power to work through you, if you are truly walking by faith. The enemy is powerless before God's power. You see, their power rests in popularity. And so now they've got a problem. The people they had arrested that they were hoping to get rid of real easily, real quietly, are standing in public and teaching the people. Now how is it that we're going to get those folks and stop them from preaching the gospel? Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. See, they almost have to go apologetically. Excuse me, if you could stop teaching the people for a moment. We need to take you into custody now. Would you please come quietly so we don't create a scene? This is the world's power in the face of God's power. What an incredible scene this is. Verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And so they threatened them. We said, we told you not to. How come you're not obeying us? And then they lay some guilt on them. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Like, why aren't you treating us better? Don't you consider our feelings at all? We don't want to feel guilty for having put this Jesus to death. And yet you're making everybody think that we're the ones who have done something bad. Don't you care about us? Don't you care about anybody but yourself? Don't you care about the nation of Israel? You're going to cause all kinds of problems. The Romans are going to come in here. Guilt. But here is real power. As we have learned this morning in our, or not this morning, but recently in our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the pinnacle of human power and wisdom is being pitted against Christ crucified, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Uncle Screwtape, what are we going to do? They're there and they're not listening at all to the people who are in charge, who are working for us. What are we going to do? And he's like, relax, Wormwood. They rely on their own power. Human beings always do. The officers will make them fear, or threats will make them fear you, or they only think of themselves. And so we're going to twist the truth here that they don't care about anything else but themselves. Make it sound like they're the ones being selfish for doing what it is that they are doing. But these are people who walk by faith and not by sight. These are people who pray for boldness to be able to obey God rather than men, who ask for God to give them the courage to obey Him and not be concerned at all about themselves, who are asking God to display His power and His wisdom in the gospel in Christ crucified to the world so that they may know that there is a salvation in heaven waiting for them. Peter and the apostles answer, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him at His right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. You see, here's Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 to other Christians a little bit later in that first century, who are also facing some of the same struggles when worldly power and wisdom comes up against the power and wisdom of God that is Christ crucified. And here he writes to them and says, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's prayer is that Christians who are struggling with displaying God's power and preaching to the people and teaching them of the gospel of Christ crucified, who is wisdom and power from God, that they may know God's power, be filled with Christ, so that they can have the courage and the boldness to stand there and do what God needs them to do. You see, we're told, and this is also from class this morning, and here's how class helps piggyback some of what we're learning here in service. I encourage you to be part of class. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. That's how we are to go forth in this world with the power and wisdom of God, and that is Christ crucified. See, the enemy has no power over us if we trust and obey. Oh, the boldness that they had before the very body that had condemned Jesus to death, the very body that thought they were filled with jealousy and said, here's an easy way to kill this movement of Christianity. We'll just grab all these apostles and we will lock them up, and in the morning we'll have a trial, we'll condemn them to death, we'll just kill the whole movement whatsoever. When they hear the boldness and the courage that they come out with, that we cannot obey you over God. Instead, they preach the gospel to the council and say that you hung him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead. What is going to happen from such people here? When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to the men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. Uncle Screwtape, what are we going to do? They were really bold and said, we're going to follow their God instead. And says, relax, we're going to get them enraged at these folks, and you're going to see they're going to do away with them. And we need to proceed carefully, though, because we saw what happened with Jesus a little bit earlier here. We're going to threaten to kill them, because if you kill or ignore them, they're going to disappear, that's for sure. Because, as Satan even said to Job, a man will do anything to save his life about Job. But we saw that didn't work out quite well for Screwtape either, did it? They'll just disappear. And would God really use evil men to help save? Would he use Gamaliel to bring about letting him go for a little while? And is God able to use that? We don't know. So in the present case, Gamaliel says, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. So here's Screwtape's scheme. He's going to use Gamaliel. And here he is going to bring about that we're just going to try to ignore them. And if we ignore them and it's of man, it's going to fail. If it is of God, we don't want to be found fighting God. And they see the wisdom of this. So what about us? If Screwtape was having a conversation with his nephew here about 36th Street, what might he be saying? Well, if they're only playing church, they're going to die. They're going to die out. If they're only going through the motions of, you know, coming to class, coming to service, doing a few service projects, enjoying some meals together, and not really reaching out with the gospel, not really teaching the people, they're like a flashlight without a battery. I don't think we've got anything to worry about. If they're only playing church, they're just going to die. Let's ignore them. If they're of man, they're going to die out. So we don't have anything to worry about there, he says. About 36th Street, he says, if we ignore them, if we have the world that is so opposed to God, ignore them, then they're going to become irrelevant. If we call attention to them, people are going to say, hey, they're fighting on God's side. So we'll just ignore them, and they'll just be swept under the rug of history there at 36th Street. But if they're trusting and obeying in God, we're done. And so it comes up to a choice to us as well, isn't it? What are we going to do? Are we in boldness teaching the people? Are we walking by faith and not by sight? To hear the command of the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded them? Or are we just playing church? You see, here's a plan, and here's the result of what they did in that first century when they said, leave them alone, and let's see what happens. Let's see if it's of man, and it will die out. And when they called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They trusted and obeyed. What about us? What would Screwtape say about us? What's the decision that we will make today and going forward here? What about us? Let them alone. Let them continue doing what they're doing. If it's of man, it's going to fail. If it's of God, we might find ourselves fighting against God, Screwtape says. Give them comfort. Give them leisure. Give them all kinds of time. And yes, they might choose to, you know, go out and teach the people and preach the gospel. But for the most part, I think they're going to plop down on a couch in front of the TV. I think they're going to work to make money, and they're going to go to the stores and buy themselves all kinds of things, and even things for other people. And they'll say, we're doing something great because we're giving gifts. But for the most part, they're going to use what God has given them for themselves. They're not going to walk by faith. They're going to walk by sight, Screwtape says. They're not going to trust and obey. They're going to live for themselves and rely on their own strength, their own resources, and call it Christianity. Satan doesn't fear the light that comes from flashlights without power. We must trust and obey God and not submit to the easy way of living. If we have not done this, we need to obey that gospel. We need to plug in the battery on the flashlight. We need to turn it on. I did put it in right. We need to shine it all around the neighborhood. And we need to not let Satan turn it off by the things that we choose to do. If you have made that decision but not been living it out, you need the encouragement, the prayers of the church to help you. This might also be an opportunity to come forward as we stand and sing a song of invitation.
Oh, the Lord, our strength and